Hello, Zimbabwe, and welcome to Live Talk, Women's Roundtable, where we discuss about issues affecting women. We're coming to you live from Studio 7 at the Voice of America in Washington. And I'm your host, Marvelous Mhlanga Nyahuye. And tonight we are discussing challenges and gains made by women striving for leadership positions in various spheres of influence in the country. But first, let's take a look at what is happening here in the United States. U.S. President Joe Biden is making reproductive rights a centerpiece of his re-election campaign, blaming his opponent Donald Trump for opening the way to stricter state abortion laws. In this presidential campaign, Trump is pursuing a more moderate position on abortion than some of his Republican Party prefer. VOA correspondent Scott Stearns has our story.
Joe Biden campaigned on reproductive rights in Florida, where a state ban on abortion beyond 6 weeks becomes law next week.
It's criminalizing reproductive health care for before women even know whether they're pregnant. I mean, this is bizarre.
The Florida abortion law will be one of the nation's most restrictive and is a victory for the state's conservative Republican leaders, says University of Miami law professor Caroline Mala Corbin.
For those people whose religion teaches that life begins at conception and therefore pregnancy is the moral equivalent of a human being, this decision is obviously triumph.
It's also a political challenge for Donald Trump, who says the Florida law goes too far, but who also wants to remind anti-abortion voters that he ended federal abortion protections with Supreme Court appointments that shifted the judicial majority on the court and overturned Roe v. Wade. The Biden campaign sees that as a political opportunity.
For 50 years, the court ruled that there was a fundamental constitutional right to privacy. But 2 years ago, that was taken away. Let's be real clear. There's one person responsible for this nightmare, and he's acknowledged and he brags about it, Donald Trump.
Trump does brag about it, and did so again in a video on his social media site this month.
This 50-year battle over Roe v. Wade took it out of the federal hands and brought it into the hearts, minds, and vote of the people in each state. It was really something. Now it's up to the states to do the right thing.
The challenge is when states do things with which Trump does not agree, like Florida, and like Arizona, where the state Supreme Court upheld an 1800s ban on nearly all abortions. Voters in Arizona and Florida will both have abortion rights measures on their November ballots. Similar initiatives in Kansas and Ohio over the last 2 years have been losing propositions for Republicans. And Trump is reminding supporters about the electoral vulnerability of abortion.
Like Ronald Reagan, I am strongly in favor of exceptions for rape, incest, and life of the mother. You must follow your heart on this issue, but remember, you must also win elections to restore our culture and, in fact, to save our country, which is currently, and very sadly, a nation in decline.
It's a vulnerability Biden is pressing.
Donald Trump is worried voters are going to hold him accountable for the cruelty and chaos he created. Folks, the bad news for Trump is we are going to hold him accountable. We are. He should be held accountable.
As part of its push on reproductive rights, the Biden administration this week strengthened medical records privacy for people traveling across state lines. It's aimed at protecting women who live in states where abortion is illegal from being prosecuted in that state for having an abortion elsewhere. Scott Stearns, VOA News.
Thank you, Scott, for that report. After years of political wrangling and court battles, British lawmakers passed legislation Monday that the government hopes will allow it to deport asylum seekers arriving in small boats across the English Channel to Rwanda for processing. As Andrew Ridgewell reports from London, the dangers of the immigrants crossing were underlined just hours after the law was passed.
a grim reminder of the dangers of the migrant journeys across the English Channel. Five people died, including a young child, when an overloaded inflatable dinghy carrying migrants got into difficulties off the French coast Tuesday morning. French authorities say 112 people were on board.
Despite this complex and delicate situation, 57 people who were still in the inflatable boat remained on board. Not willing to be rescued, they managed to restart the engine and decided to continue their sea route towards Britain.
Such is the determination of migrants to reach Britain. Over 6,300 people have made the journey in small boats so far this year. The tragedy came just hours after British lawmakers passed legislation aiming to send to Rwanda all asylum seekers arriving across the English Channel. Migrants would be processed in Rwanda and have no right to return to Britain, even those granted refugee status. The legislation effectively orders the courts to ignore existing British laws or international treaties that could block the deportations. It's not yet clear if further legal challenges could delay the flights. British Prime Minister Rishi Sunak said the prospect of being sent thousands of kilometres away to Rwanda will deter migrants from making the journey to Britain.
The first flight will leave in 10 to 12 weeks. Now, of course, that is later than we wanted, but we have always been clear that processing will take time.
The government argues the policy is moral as it aims to end the dangerous journeys operated by people smugglers. But the United Nations called for Britain to rethink the legislation.
By shifting the responsibility for refugees, reducing the UK court's ability to scrutinise removal decisions, restricting access to legal remedies in the UK and limiting the scope of domestic and international human rights protections for a specific group of people, this new legislation seriously hinders the rule of law in the UK and it sets a perilous precedent globally.
Under the deal, Britain is paying Rwanda at least $458 million over 5 years, with extra payments on top worth tens of thousands of dollars for each migrant sent to the country. The opposition has called it an expensive gimmick that won't work. The passing of the legislation after years of delay is a political victory for Prime Minister Rishi Sunak. Whether the policy deters migrants from making the deadly journeys across the English Channel remains to be seen. Henry Ridgewell, VOA News, London.
Thank you there, Henry, for that report. Amnesty International Zimbabwe Executive Director Lucia Masuka today strongly condemned the government's actions concerning ongoing human rights violations in the country. Addressing journalists in Harare at the launch of the State of the World's Human Rights Report, which also covered Zimbabwe, Masuka said in 2023 human rights violations were prominent in the run-up to the post-2023 elections. Masuka said Amnesty is deeply concerned about the ongoing human rights violations in Zimbabwe, particularly the repression of dissidents and the lack of accountability for perpetrators.
We also observed that there were a number of cases that went through trial, which cases had arisen during periods ranging from 2020 to 2021, where there were convictions that were not supported by the law. One such case is the case of former spokesperson of the CCC, Fazai Mahere, who was charged with publishing falsehoods, despite the fact that it was highlighted in court and there was a high court judgment that specifically stated that the charge that was being preferred against her, or that offense, was no longer in existence. She was convicted and sentenced to pay a fine of $500. But you may be aware that this year, that conviction was subsequently overturned by the High Court. But you also recall that when she was arrested, she was actually detained for a number of days back then in 2020. The other case that we picked up related to the conviction and sentencing of Jacob Ngadi-Fume, who is the leader of the opposition party Transform Zimbabwe.
That there was Amnesty International Zimbabwe Executive Director Lucia Masuka in Harare. Despite tangible findings in these reports, the Zimbabwean government has always refuted these claims. Please stay tuned as we take a short break. We'll be right back.
In times of change, when the world seems uncertain, and what we hear doesn't reflect what we see, we seek the truth. When we are told only part of the story, we lose trust. In moments of crisis, our dreams, hopes, and wishes for a better tomorrow depend on a free press. At Voice of America, we bring you the stories that people take risks to see. We connect the world and unite it with truth. At Voice of America, we show you the whole picture.
For those that have just joined us, please note that we are streaming live on all our Facebook pages, VOA Shona, VOA Studio 7, and VOA Ndebele. We're also live on YouTube at VOA Zimbabwe. And now back to our main topic of the day. Today on Live Talk Women's Roundtable, we're discussing challenges and gains for women striving for leadership positions in the country. And to discuss this issue, we are joined by Edith Maziofa Tafuma, a Zimbabwean businesswoman who's currently attending the Women's Leadership Conference in Malawi, and Fortunate Hove Cooper, the founder of Concerned Family, an organization that serves the underprivileged here in California. Welcome to the program, ladies.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you so much for coming onto the program. I'll start off with you, Ms. Edith, who's out there in Malawi. Tell us a little bit about this conference. How important is it for women who are seeking leadership positions?
Thank you, Marvelous. It's a fantastic space where they are trying to create a transformative space which recognizes the role of women in leadership positions. In fact, it extends, the conversation has been extending beyond the boardroom and beyond the titles that people carry. And it really encompasses issues to do with how can women build resilience, the empathy that is required at the workplace and off the job, as well as balancing our ambition, self-care, and our holistic selves in the journey to leadership, both in the workplace and at family level.
Mm-hmm. I'll come to you, Ms. Hove. Tell us a little bit about your organization and what you're also seeing when it comes to women in leadership.
Thank you, Marvelous. We run an organization called Concerned Family. The focus is the underprivileged women and men in our society. We feed them daily, we clothe them, we make sure that we help with revamping their self-esteem, which is generally lost when they fall victim to drugs and prostitution and homelessness in general. And so we look at them. You say some of them were actually leaders in society, but things happened and they fell through the cracks. So they need encouragement. So we are there to encourage them. We look at the aspects of an individual that make them a better person, like the dress code, the way they present themselves, their appearance in general, very basic things that make a difference. So we do that with homeless women, especially during our Mother's Day. And then We sent photos to the homes of these women who are on the streets to tell their family that they still hope.
Mm-hmm. Thank you so much. I'll come back to you, Mr. Fuma. Tell us also, you spoke about self-care and how it is important and mental health and such issues. Is it possible, though, to encompass all these things and still become a leader? How does one do it as a woman?
It's possible, but the key message is that we bring our whole self into whatever space that we come to. And it's unfair for society or the workplace to expect a woman who is a wife, a mother, a carer, to forget her other identities just because she's in the workspace. When we bring our whole selves to the workplace, we bring who we are even at home. That means when we walk into the workspace, we don't leave behind the challenges. I'm glad the other speaker talked about the drugs and substance abuse. And you find in our community, right now, Zimbabwe is dealing with the near pandemic levels in substance abuse. And how do you expect a mother who is in a leadership position in the workplace to forget that when she gets to the workspace and pretend that this challenge isn't happening at home, and then kind of pick up that challenge at 5 o'clock or 4:30 when they go home? So we are saying, how can we recognize, how can the workspace recognize that people have challenges, women are dealing with stuff, with real life issues, and they are still expected to perform at their optimum? What is it that the business can do to support mental health within the workplace so that in spite of or despite all these challenges that women are facing, they are better supported to have better positive mental health, which helps them to be able to function optimally in spite of the practices. So those are the type of conversations that we've been trying to navigate and say, how can we take this role of mother, mentor, sister, wife, and make something of it that is still making strides within the work environment, in fact, across all sectors.
Tombopinda murimi rwa mai kuti asi zviri nyore here kuti tione vatingati makambani kana nzvimbo dzinoshanda madzimai vachitora zvamuri kutaura izvi kana tiri kutarisa madzimai vari kuita mabasa epamusoro. Zvinofanira kuitwa sei kuti vanyatsonzwisisa kuti madzimai pane zvavanotarisa nawo nazvo?
Makambani akawanda ari kuno kuZimbabwe vazhinji vacho vakagamuchira zvirongwa izvi. Vari kuona kuti vaisaririra pavanga vasingatarisiri semabhizinesi kuti pfungwa neutano hwemunhu hwakakosha. Saka zvichiratidzirawo futi kuti zvakazoenda mberi kuti even mamedical aid companies emuno muZimbabwe akugamuchirawo nekubatsira rubatsiro kuti vanhu vacherechedzwe kuti zvirwere zvepfungwa, kurasikirwa nepfungwa, kushushikana nepfungwa, zvinhu zvekuti unokwanisa kuenda kunowana rubatsiro uchishandisa maresources anosanganisira even medical aid card rekubasa, zvichizosanganisawo nemachiremba anotarisira kushanda nekubatsira vanhu kuti pfungwa dzavo dzigadzikane, vashande zvakanaka.
Mm-hmm. Thank you so much. Ndouya kwamuri mai hove, mataura imi kuti munoshanda nevamwe, tinotarisa nyanya pano nekuti tiri kutaura zvemadzimai, mamwe madzimai vanenge varasikirwa nemabasa vomboenda kunogara mumigwagwa nezvimwe zvakadaro, vari kutambirwa sei nemhuri dzavo muchinge mavabatsira imi?
Munoona kuti panenge paine kunzwisisa kwakasiyana mudzimuri. Kazhinji kacho vanhu ivava kuzosvika vazoenda mumugwagwa kunogara, hama dzinenge dzaneta dzinoedza kuvatora kuti vaone pekugara nokuda kweupenyu hwovorarama, vovabira vachida kunotenga madrugs nezvese zvinodhaka zvakadaro, nokudhakwa nedoro
upenyu wacho wonyanya kuvhiringa kana vaine vana vadiki kana kuti hama dzine vana vadiki vobva vavadzinga. Saka naizvozvo unozoona kuti kana vazosvika pakupererwa vari mumugwagwa vanozouya kune vanhu vakaita sesu. Isusu chatakanzwisa ndicho kuti mubatsire vanhu vakadai hamuvarangaridzi kukanganisa kwavo, munovabatsira kuti vazive kuti vachiri kugamuchirika uye vachiri vanhu pakati pevamwe vanhu. Saka naizvozvo tinovapa zvekudya nokuvabatsira kuti vaende kuzvipatara nokudzorerwa, vamwe vanorasikirwa nemalaisensi, zvese mabirth certificate vanenge varasikirwa nazvo nokuti hapana kwekugara, vanobirana mumugwagwa imomo. Saka imi munozoona kuti munotobatsira kuumbazve munhu aparadzwa nezvinodhaka.
Thank you there, my homie. Let me go to our caller. I understand we have a caller. Hello, Lee.
Hello, this is Pam.
I want to swear at our ratings. We took our name, Murukubi. Hey, our ratings. We multiple for what's in Muruku in Zwayri Mugangui. I think we lost our caller there, but I'll come to you, Ms. Edith. So what are some of the coping mechanisms that you're learning at this conference that you're at that women who are pursuing leadership can benefit from?
Basically, it's about resilience building and building psychosocial support networks that support women on their leadership growth journeys, including also issues to do with mentorship and support. And the emphasis is really on what is it that women can do to share the burden of whatever it is that they are going through. If it's a mental health challenge, if it's even a loved one who has succumbed to substance abuse, where it is that they can seek resources to seek help for the family, also where they can get support professionally, and then also the family and community support that is available, including support from non-governmental organizations and also the faith-based communities. You do and appreciate that in our context, even issues to do with mental health are not easily accepted because of the myths and misconceptions surrounding where ill mental health comes from. A lot of it is shrouded in can I use Chivanu and spiritual and African traditional religion, which informs also the referral pathway. So you find most people in our communities in the sub-region, when they are faced with a mental health challenge, their first stop really is to seek support from the traditional healers, from the pastors, and they are seeking to do exorcisms. By the time they reach the public sector or see a psychologist, it's the fourth or fifth stop down the line. So it's trying to say these are the psychosocial supports that are available. And we don't say this is wrong or this is better than the other. The important thing is get the help that you need and timely assistance so that the women can get that support for themselves and for their families, because it is, the focus is about building towards positive mental health on our journeys to success and leadership within the corporate space.
Amaita Fuma mataura zvanyatsondibata kuti panyaya iyi yekuti kurasikirwa nepfungwa kana kutora zvinodhaka vazhinji vanowanikwa ivo vachienda kunobvunzira kana kuti kunonzwa kuti zvakafamba sei nyanya kuZimbabwe. Miss Edith, if you can just come back and let us know kuti saka muri kuzvifambisa sei panyaya idzodzo, mune dzidziso here dzamuri kupa vanhu kuti aiwa fambisa izvo so.
Endo zvirongwa zvacho zviripo zvekuti vanhu vawane nzwisiso yekuti kurasikirwa nepfungwa zvirwere izvi zvinogona kutanga sei. Kazhinji kacho zvatiri kunyanya kuona mazuva ano ndezvekuti kunyanya kune vechidiki zviri kukonzerwa nekuputa kana kumwa zvinodhaka. Iro igroup 1. Kwoitawo vamwe vekuti zvinogona kunge zviri yatingati genetic kana brain chemistry. But unonzwa pachivanhu pedu vanhu vanotaura vachiti uyu anoita kabehavior kakadai, anotodzera, ndozvaiita sekuru wake, ndozvaiita vake. And patinenge tichidaro tinenge tichitobvuma kuti kurasika dzimwe nguva pane mamwe maconditions ekurasika pfungwa anogona kutapudziranwa mumuri zvichitaridza kuti ari genetic nezvimwe zvinokonzerwawo nemashandiro atinoita kumabasa tinotarisira kuti kumabasa kwatinoshanda tinoti work is good for mental health nekuti kungova nebasa uchimuka uchigeza uchinosangana nevamwe kubasa zvinoita kuti pfungwa dzako dzigadzikane uchisanganawo nevamwe asi kubasa kwacho tikasangana ne vakuru vebasa vanopunyikidza vamwe vane udzvanyiriri vanoshora nekunyomba vamwe zvinoita kuti munhu kuti aite zvatingati pachirungu stress anxiety frustration nedepression inogona kutanga futi as a result of a toxic work environment saka ndizvo dzatinenge tichipa tozotarisawo futi kumakambani kuti vatarise kuti nderipi dzidziso ingapiwe vatungamiri mumabasa yatingati mamanagement training muzvinhu zvakaita kunga empathy kunzwirana kunzwisisana nekunzwirana pabasa zvinoita kuti vanhu vashande vakagadzikana vasingavhunduki kana kutya vakuru vebasa zvinoita kuti munhu akabatikana akavaita kutya kwakanyanyisa kana basa racho anobva aritadza nekutya ikoko saka tinoda kuti kubasa tirikuda kucreata mawork
Hold on there, please, Mr. Fuma. Let me just go quickly to a caller. Hello, caller Makadi, and you? Caller Mripo Erapo. Hello, caller. Love more. We don't seem to be, we seem to have lost our caller, but very interesting views there coming from Mrs. Tabfuma. I'll come to you, Mrs. Hove Cooper, to just tell us, I know you're working here in the United States in California, but do you have any work that you're also doing at home in Zimbabwe?
Yes, we support some programs that are already in place in Chitungwiza in Norton. During COVID, we supported pastors feeding them and their families. We realized that at one of the projects, it's a school program that we supported with food. We got a report at the end of the year that the grade 7 results were actually much better than before because the kids had something to eat. And these issues, you see now the intersection of poverty and mental health.
Mm-hmm.
If you have resources, you may actually address some of these problems and they can never even surface as problems. But then if you have drugs, then you have the situations that the other caller was talking about of dual diagnosis, that which comes first, mental health or drug abuse?
Mm-hmm.
So resolve one, then the other falls away. But if it's a genetic predisposition, then you have a problem that, you know,
Maybe Msatimaenda achingotiudza kuti vanhu vanga kuwana ipapi quickly before I get Mr. Fuma to give us the last word.
Oh, isu tinowa tiri pa website yakanzi theconcernedfamily.org. Munokwanisa kutiwana kana pa Facebook. Tine page yedu yatine chitaura zvatinoita kufida kwatinoita vanhu. Uye tinonamata nevanhu tinobatsira all these issues that tiri kutaura iko zvino tinonamata futi nokunzwisisa tsika nemagariro edu kuti anokonzera
Thank you so much, Mr. Fuma. Your last word and where people can reach out to learn what you're doing.
Thank you so much. Ndinongoda kuguma nechiti there is a lot that has been done to support women's economic empowerment in our communities, but of course there's a lot more that still remains to be done. Isu tinowanikwa ku Vitality Wellness, where we are working with gender norms transformation as well as wellness and well-being. Munogona kuita pin my contacts pano pa Facebook kana kushowa ne website yedu ne phone number yangu ndakasununguka to share my contacts.
Thank you so much, and Thank you so much to my guest that we had a very informative conversation today, Mrs. Tapfuma, who's out in Malawi at a conference, and also Mrs. Cooper, who's here in the United States. And that brings us to the end of our show. Signing off in Washington, I'm Marvelous Msanganya Huye.